Time, I think, for some show tunes.
Try to remember the kind of September when life was slow and oh so mellow.
The Fantastics. Pop tunes.
I feel the earth move under my feet.
Thank you, Carol. Bang tunes. Hit it, Elton. Or the confessional piano tunes of Tori Amos.
Never was a cornflake girl. Thought it was a good solution. Hanging with the rays.
The regrets of Ben Folds, event-filled love life.
I wanna ask you, do you ever sit and wonder it?
The person who can sit down at the piano and rock the room has a special superpower. As we note the disappearing piano in America this week, we have been speaking to people who are evidence of its solid presence in our communities and families, despite a decline from the golden age of pianos a century ago. Luke Jerram, you might say, uses pianos as bait to attract the people with the piano player superpower. You're listening to it right now. This is from his art installation called Play Me, I'm Yours. It includes over 1,300 pianos, 45 cities, started in 2008, continues to this day. In 2015, the pianos head to Florence. Luke Jerram, welcome to The Takeaway.
Hi, how you doing?
Great. How have you observed people sitting down and doing amazing things on the piano? I'm sure you've heard a lot of, you know, chopsticks and, la, 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 la.
To be honest, you never quite know when someone sits down if they're going to be really rubbish or if they're going to be this amazing talent, sort of undiscovered talent. And we've had some witnessed some extraordinary things from sort of homeless men playing on streets in Canada, writing and making their own music. We've had child prodigies turning up and playing the most amazing Bach. Anything seems to be possible. And it's been, a privilege to sort of witness the public's interaction with the art project.
What did you anticipate you would be pulling on when people see a piano? What echoes of a time past do pianos evoke?
Yeah, well, I suppose, I'm phoning up from Bristol in England at the moment. And certainly in the UK, the piano used to be the main source of entertainment for people. So in the front room of someone's house, they might have a piano. And this was before the radio came along and certainly before the television. So you'd all have a sort of sing-song. And all that is gone now. So piano companies are just throwing out hundreds and hundreds of pianos each year. And there's something quite sad about it. So what I'm doing, I suppose I'm giving a lot of these old pianos a new lease of life and putting them on the street for a number of weeks for the public to play. I suppose the reason why the art project is really quite successful is it provides a blank canvas for the public to express their creativity.
And I can remember in my grandmother's house, the piano was the center of the living room and was also this immaculate piece of art furniture that was not to be touched and not to be banged on, and don't scratch the piano. Are you surprised that there seems to be relatively little, if any, vandalism or bad treatment associated with the pianos that you just leave out on the street?
I think it depends where you put the piano. So in my home city in Bristol, we put the pianos in some quite rough parts of the city, and we have pianos that were damaged. But generally around the world, you know, I've installed 1,300 pianos now. Generally, we find that people are very respectful. Each of the pianos that we install, they've got the words "Play Me, I'm Yours" on. So that's a sort of invitation, an instruction for people to engage with them.
Do you like to stand behind the nearby wall and watch sometimes?
Yeah, I mean, it's nice. It's a nice thing to sort of sit down and see what happens. And sometimes there's a whole queue of people, you know, waiting to have a go. We've had almost like 10 million people now have played these pianos in different cities around the world. We put a piano in a train station in Sao Paulo. A piano over there costs like a year's wage. And we came across a mother and a daughter. And it turns out that the mother had worked as a cleaner for about 4 years to send her daughter to piano lessons on the other side of the city. But, you know, as pianos are so expensive, they could never actually afford their own piano. And after 4 years of working as a cleaner, she'd never heard her daughter play. And they came across this piano in the train station, and the daughter sat down and played beautiful music for her mother for the first time. And her mother burst out into tears. And, you know, it was a wonderful, wonderful thing.
And you were right there?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, man, that's too much. That's like that's like a musical right there. Can you tell the story before we go of someone who just, you had no conceivable hope that they would be able to play, who sat down, either a tiny child or, you know, someone in a trench coat or some old person who could barely even walk and absolutely blew you away?
Yeah, no, that's happened quite a lot. In fact, there's a film that's gone completely viral at the moment of a piano in Edmonton in Canada. It's been seen 3.5 million times, of this homeless man playing a piano that's his own composition, and it's absolutely beautiful. And the same thing happened with a homeless guy in Peru in Chile, and he's covered his head with an old sort of blanket, and he's hiding away. And you can see he literally hasn't played piano for 20 years. And it's like he opens up like a flower until he plays this most beautiful music. And again, that film's been seen by about 5 million people. You know, I've seen a homeless man playing with, you know, businessmen laughing and clapping along. And it sort of opens up. It makes people come together. In fact, in London, we put a piano in Liverpool Street Station. And a guy walked past, a girl playing the piano, and he said, "Oh, that was good. Could you just show me that bit that you just did there?" They sat down together and gave each other almost piano lessons, and decided to meet the following day. They fell in love and actually had the piano at their wedding about 6 months later.
Oh, remarkable. Do you play?
I play quite badly. But, I suppose I'm one of those musicians. I play a little bit at home, but there's no way you'd catch me playing in front of friends or family. But somehow I'm quite willing to go and play a street piano.
Luke Jerram's art installation is called Play Me, I'm Yours. He's a visiting research fellow at the Center for Fine Print Research at the University of West of England, where he joined us. Luke, thanks so much.
An absolute privilege. Thanks very much.
2, 3, 4. Might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sunshine, she's here, you can take a break.
Some music from the Play Me, I'm Yours, Luke Jerram project. A lot of you are joining this conversation.
My name is Alex. I am from Bend, Oregon, and I will gladly tune up to the Flintstones. I learned it years ago playing with my father, and I've forgotten everything since, but still love that Flintstones theme song.
Patricia Gareth calling from Chatsport, Pennsylvania. I can still play pretty much by heart, Fair Elise by Beethoven.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And the Flintstones, of course. Ba-bum, bum-ba-ba-bum. Anybody else?
This is Anne from Round Rock, Texas. I took piano lessons for 10 years as a child, and my piano teacher passed away. My first piano teacher passed away when I was in junior high. There are a couple of pieces that are very close to my heart, one of which is Prelude No. 1 from Well-Tempered Clavichord by Bach, and also Prelude in A Major by Chopin. These two pieces remind me of playing with my teacher, whom I loved very much.
Take us out, Anne, from Round Rock, Texas. Join our conversation. Tell us the piece you still play joyfully at thetakeaway.org or call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Thanks so much for listening. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
Support for The Takeaway comes from the Henry Luce Foundation for increased understanding of East and Southeast Asia, and the Rockefeller Foundation, whose transportation initiative is promoting equitable and sustainable developments in communities across the country.
PRI, Public Radio International.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.